Open up your Bibles with me to Galatians, the third chapter, Galatians chapter 3, and as we get into this teaching this morning, I've titled it, On to a Good Start, Off to a Bad Finish. And of course, that doesn't sound so good. Well, it depends on which side you're on. And you could have been on the bad finish, and now you're going to go for the new start. Whatever the case may be, I pray that God would direct us in that. This morning, though, I want to read out of the first five verses of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 is perhaps a singly, but it'll be tied to chapter 4, one of the most profound areas of study concerning not only our salvation, but the whole work of God to make our salvation complete. It's an exciting book, and it's exciting two chapters. And so this morning, though, I know we won't finish up chapter 3. That's not my intent, because I'll focus on the first part, because today we're also receiving communion. So we want to make sure we get all of that combined into this one service. So join me as I begin reading in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 as the starting point of our teaching today. And it says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Father God, we pray this morning for your word to come alive to us. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive all that your word reveals today for your glory. Guide us into all truth by the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for it all. Through Jesus' name we pray, and church, if you agree, say amen. So on to a good start, but off to a bad finish. The tragedy of so many of those that we know in our life, that they had a good beginning. We all did. We all had a good start when you were a little baby, right? But then some people just never grew up past that, or they grew out of sorts with who they really were. Sometimes we start off right in our life in different things, and we end up wrong. I can't tell you how many projects I started off on right, and that's why they always say, measure twice but cut once. I've cut the board off too many times that I've got to measure now several times before I'm ready to do such an act as that. But coping with negative situations. The thing is, as long as you live in this world, there's always going to be those kinds of things that come up. We're subjected to the same chaos, the ups and the downs, the good and the bad, the positives and the negatives of life. We're not the only person that faces these kinds of circumstances. We all do. It's just that some make better choices than others, and some live to regret the choices that they had already made. But what sets us apart, though, is how you choose to deal with your circumstance. How you deal with that choice, how you deal with the choices you've made, in the past even, as present. But this message is about the choices. In fact, we're starting off chapter 3 that way, because that's what Paul does. He's laying it out, and he's saying to these Galatians, remember, that's the churches of Galatia, he's telling them, did you accomplish your relationship to God by your good works, by your good actions, by your good intentions? Or did you do it by faith? As a matter of fact, faith is a key word in chapter 3. Even in the verses I just read to you, if you would have followed along, you would have seen the word faith is mentioned twice, at the end of verse 2, and it's mentioned at the end of verse 5. But it's mentioned throughout Galatians chapter 3. The key is faith. Living without understanding what you're seeing in your circumstances, but believing beyond what you see. Do we have that kind of faith? Because he even makes mention that miracles actually happen through that kind of faith. And we'll see that this morning too. But if you would have read verse 5, he talks about miracles. But the miracles happen because we do all the right things. We lay out all the right programs. We attend all of the right services. We study all the right books. Or do miracles happen according to faith? And I think we know the answer. It's according to faith. But somehow we believe miracles can't happen. unless I do certain things. Well, there's another story about all that. But this message is about the choices we make in our daily lives, especially those that are both for and or against God. As a matter of fact, there's a story about a man named Fred who inherited $10 million, but the will required that he had to accept it either in Chile or Brazil. He chose Brazil. Unhappily, it turned out that in Chile, he would have received his inheritance in land, which would have included uranium, gold, and silver. It had just been discovered, but he blew it. He made it for Brazil. He had to choose between receiving his inheritance, though, and coffee or nuts when he got to Brazil, but he chose the nuts. Too bad, because the bottom fell out of the nut market, and coffee went up several times over. And yet, poor Fred lost everything now that he had to his name. He went out and sold his solid gold watch for the money he needed to fly home. It seemed that he had enough for a ticket to either New York or Boston, but he chose Boston. When the plane for New York taxied up, though, he watched it. It was a brand new superjet with every kind of treatment imaginable. It was to be such a glorious ride. But remember, he didn't choose that plane. He chose the plane for Boston. So his plane arrived. It was a 1928 Ford Trimotor with a sway back, and it took a full day to get it off the ground. It was filled with crying children and tethered goats, and over the Andes, one of the engines just fell off. And our man Fred has made his way to the captain and said, "Look, I'm a jinx on this plane. Let me out if you want to save your lives, but give me a parachute." And the pilot agreed, but said, "On this plane, anybody who bails out must have two parachutes." So Fred jumped out of the plane, and as he was flying down through the air, he tried to make up his mind which cord to pull. And finally, he chose the one on the left. It was rusty, and it just simply pulled out of the parachute. So then he tried the other handle. Now, the chute then did open, but its shroud lines just snapped. And there he was. In desperation, the poor fellow just cries out, "St. Francis, save me!" And a great hand from heaven reached down and seized the poor fellow by the wrist, letting him dangle in midair. Then a gentle but inquisitive voice said, "St. Francis Xavier or St. Francis of Assisi?" In other words, what choices do you make? Of course, in that tale, it's ridiculous, but at the same time, I think it points out we second-guess our choices all the time, don't we? Sometimes we feel like, "I made the right choice." That's only because it worked out so well at the beginning. But when it starts to go awry, then we go, "Oh no, why did I make that choice?" We often do not realize how vitally important choices are and how they impact our lives. As we consider choices, may we see that the choices we'll make determine our character, our influence, our commitment, and our relationship to Jesus Christ, and ultimately our destiny. But in our choices, we also realize that there is a fatality. And I can't advance to the next slide. So if you could do that for me, the fatality, there we go, of not living by the Spirit. And that's the difference here of what Paul's bringing out. You see, the Judaizers were coming to town and says, "Oh, you must make these choices, and you got to do all these great works, and then when you do that, you'll be right with God." And Paul said, "Oh, wait a minute, oh, foolish Galatians, how dare you to believe that? Who bewitched you in that sense? Who tricked you?" But the reality is, we make our choices, but do you make your choice for your observance of doing all of these rules and regulations as the Judaizers were proposing, all the rules of Judaism and so on? Does that make you right with God? Or do you make your life right with God by faith? And of course, it's by faith according to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, but hearing by the Word of God specifically. So when we consider choices, Paul and the Holy Spirit is challenging the readers to the various kinds of choices being made. In fact, look how he confronts them in verse 1. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" And that term "bewitch" is interesting because in the New King James and in the NIV, it's a reference to so-called enlightenment. Who gave you this enlightenment? Who gave you this discovery? Who tricked you into all of this? Listening to the Message translation, it says in verse 1, "You crazy Galatians, did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened. Now, I don't talk to people like that. When people ask me a question, how do I know the right choice to make? Well, I believe we need to seek the Lord. We need to look at His Word, and we've got to find out what He has to say about that choice and then catalog that. But then most importantly, we got to pray and release it to God and say, God, what choice do I make? What choice do I have before me? And usually with a choice, that means there's more than one. So you got to make the right choice. Well, sometimes you feel like that's hard to do. The Amplified Bible in verse 1 says, "Oh, you poor and silly, thoughtless and unreflecting and senseless Galatians, who has fascinated or bewitched you or cast a spell over you." And sometimes we feel just like that, because sometimes we make a choice, well, I thought I made the right choice, and then you find out afterwards, maybe that wasn't the best choice I could make. You know, some of those choices could end up being fatal to us. So what was the problem? Choices. You see, life is full of choices. Some have a positive impact upon our lives, and sometimes it's a negative impact. Now you say, well, I know all of that. Well, that's true. But do you know it in the seriousness and in the context of what Paul is talking about? Our life with God, is it going to be by faith or is it going to be by our own doing? You see, even in our life today, we find out that we sometimes have a lot of faith as long as we say, I've lined up everything with God. I've been to Bible study, I've been studying my Bible, I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've been doing everything. So do you think God's going to answer this? Well, I believe that He wants us to be responsible, but I believe sometimes He answers it and we don't even realize that we've done all the right things. But you see, He answers it because of our trust and our faith in Him. So where's your trust? Where's your faith today? And yet you can look at all of the information, you can look at all of the nuances and all of the circumstances, and yes, I'm saying that it's good to do some things with fasting and praying and doing all of this, but does that make it happen? No. You see, God still deals with faith, not your works. So then some people say, well, I don't know if God will even answer my prayer. And I say to them sometimes, well, why do you feel like that? Well, because I haven't done all the right things. You know, it begins even in that heart of faith right at the moment. Are you willing to trust God with this? And not just because you've done all the right things. See, Webster's defines the way of choice as to select freely after due consideration. So I believe and I instruct people, you know, you need to go in the Word of God. You need to find the various scriptures and context to that particular decision. But then you make the decision and you count on God to direct your steps. My favorite verse is Proverbs 16:9. It says, make your plans, but count on God to direct your steps. And I do that every single time because, you see, I feel that I'm not going to get the right choice unless I've made it by faith. So to choose is deliberate. It's not by chance. You're approaching an intersection, so to speak. You're late, in a hurry. The light changes. What do? Slam on the brakes. No, slam on that gas pedal and push your way through it, right? In fact, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, hold your place here. Turn over there again. Just to remind you, I brought up this verse last week, and it says in verse 7 of chapter 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So we're responsible for our choices. Our choices can get us in trouble, or they can make all the difference in the world. And yet we've got to make, of course, the right choice. So God is not mocked. If you're sowing to the flesh, guess what you're going to get. And so what are the consequences do you reap from your actions? Well, let's say, for instance, you're at a party. Liquor is flowing freely. You made a commitment never to drink again. Do you have a drink? Well, it has consequences. In fact, you're on a diet. You had your fill of salad, and you said, that's it. I can't eat any more salad. And all that healthy stuff, it tastes like, well, anyhow, it does. And then do you sneak a candy bar just to bless yourself? My wife yesterday went to the store, and she knows that when I study and I'm up late, I like to nibble on things. So I got to find something to nibble on. Paper doesn't taste very well. And so she was so nice, she brought back a box of Cheez-Its for me. And because they're fried, I suppose. And then she brought me Cheetos. And it was a little bag, though. So I'm looking at those two things going, should I choose any of them? And I'm going, okay, Dave, she was doing something nice for you. So you need to make a choice. So I did. I took both up to my office upstairs, and I ate both. Not all of them, but I ate some. She goes, well, I shouldn't have got you such a big box of those Cheez-Its. Yeah, and a little package of the Cheetos. She goes, well, did you take both? I go, yeah, I took both. And now I don't feel so good. But life is full of choices, but there's consequences. So that'll really blow a diet, right? Well, I'm not on a diet. And so go through a red light. Guess what? You get a ticket. If they catch you, well, they got to catch me. Eat sweets, get cavities, put on weight. Sex outside of marriage could be a death sentence. For every action, there's always a consequence. And Paul is telling them that you can't say you're living and walking by faith and living according to your flesh. The two don't measure up. You got to do what's right before God by faith, but does that mean you won't make choices and do deliberate things? Oh, no, you will. But you'll do them correctly, because in Ephesians, the Bible says that we are saved unto good works. So what does he mean? Well, it means we're already saved, and the good works are a choice we make because we're already saved. But you see, the Judaizers were telling him, no, you're not going to get saved unless you do this, that, and the other. In fact, in some churches today, I'm not going to mention which kind, but there are certain ones that says, well, you can't be saved unless you get baptized. You can't be saved unless you attend all of our meeting services that we have to tell you all of the things you need to know. And you can't be saved unless you follow this rule or that rule. The truth of the matter is, salvation is a gift of God. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it, thanks be to God. If I deserved it, I would have never gotten it. But I got it. If you got it this morning, say, I got it. Okay, turn to the person next to you and say, I hope you get it. And so I hope you do. But you rob a bank, consequences, go to jail. For every action, there is a consequence, so good or bad. And that's what Paul said in Galatians when he finally gets to that point. Lie on your taxes, get caught, you're in trouble. Tithe and reap, or don't tithe and say, why me, Lord? Why am I always broken? Everything's breaking. Well, maybe you forgot something along the way by faith. So on and on. There are always consequences. All day long, we're faced with choices and the consequences of our choices. The only thing I can say with certainty is that we will not always choose wisely. I proved it to myself last night when I ate both of those, because it was just before I was thinking, okay, am I going to go to bed now? And then I laid there on a full stomach of Cheetos and Cheez-Its. And that was not good because I was drinking water like crazy and they swelled up. And so there I was going, why did I do such a dumb thing as that? I didn't have to do that. But we allow ourselves to be influenced sometimes by circumstances or people. Sometimes that is good, but sometimes it's not so good. We're a strange people. We love the counsel of man, but seldom seek the counsel of our Heavenly Father. Do you really seek Him? And because the Bible promises you seek Him and you shall find Him. And yet do we look in all things? Oh, no, no. What fellowship does, it lights the way over darkness. Yet we keep asking for that worldly advice. And so the fellowship we have with the saints is we can pray for one another. So it's always good to say, pray for me. I'm going through something right now. You don't have to tell them all the details. In fact, you're probably better off if you don't. You know why? Because we spill too many details and people are even afraid to pray. They're going, that person has this. You know, I learned a long time ago in a pastoral ministry, I actually started off on Sunday nights. I used to have a healing service. This was way back in the 70s. And I would have people come, and I was putting out flyers, and I says, we're going to pray for you. Well, I kind of got in trouble with that with Pastor Chuck, because he says, Dave, not good. And I go, what's not good? He goes, well, what are you doing over there? I says, well, I just read them the Word of God. I teach the Bible. And then that night, I say, anybody who wants to be healed, anybody that needs a miracle, anybody that needs anything from God, come on up here and pray. And they did. And people got healed. People prayed. In fact, one of my board members who's in heaven now, his wife, was healed of a heart condition. And yet, it wasn't because of me. It was because my faith was in God. And if our faith is in us, we're going to be in trouble. But we love to find out all these things. In fact, sometimes we seek them out. Last Thursday, though, you may have heard about this. A Brinks truck, the rear door opened up on I-70 in Indianapolis. And $600,000, they estimate, came flying out of the back of that Brinks truck. Oh, what a dream. I could just picture, because what happened is, it said cars were sliding all over the road, coming to a stop, and the traffic was backed up for miles, and people were jumping out of their cars, climbing over fences, and they were all trying to get a handful of that cash laying on the road. And of course, how interesting. Yet, it's interesting that people weren't going to give up. They were picking it up everywhere, saying, and I could just picture the Christians out there saying, oh God, thank you, you've answered my prayers. Here's the money I needed. And just going crazy over the money. Then the police put out a report the next day that says, if you don't turn that cash back in, we're coming for you. We've got cameras that were posted on your license plates, and we're coming after you. You better turn it in while you got a chance. They have a choice to make. Either keep it or give it up. The question is, what would you have done? Well, I know what I would have done. I'd have stopped too. Traffic was jammed up, so I would have used that. But I would have given it back. Oh, of course I would. And of course you would. Yeah. But who was the person who let that door open? You know, it was their fault. Yeah. And I bet they're in trouble even to this day. But the police said, if you scooped it up, you're responsible and you better turn it back. So I wonder how many of them turned it back. Out of the 600,000, it was estimated, maybe they got $600. I'm still following the story, but I don't know how much it was there. But the Bible declares, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But do we do that? Do we hold him in awe? Do we ask him for wisdom? The Bible says clearly in James that if you need wisdom, seek God and ask God for wisdom, and he will give it to you with all liberality. Or do you say, well, I can do this on my own? Why was Paul so upset with them? Because they were making the wrong choice, it's obvious. And so they were going back to the law. The law was no longer a way to get a relationship with God. It started off as a teacher. We're going to learn in Galatians, as a schoolmaster, to direct the people to seek God truly by faith. And that's our relationship today, folks, with God. But we must commit. Not only consider our choices, we must commit. Next slide, B. Commit to our choices. In fact, is our commitment to God, is it based on our performance? Oh, you're too far. Is it based on a performance-based religion? If so, that's not the gospel. And we're in Roman numeral 1b, by the way. Two roads, according to Robert Frost, if you remember some of his poetry, he says, diverged into a yellow wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And sometimes I think often we as Christians, we take the wrong choice, and the one that was less traveled by. If you can't get any further than that, just leave it. And so there are two roads before us. Only one leads to heaven. Which one is it? The road of good works or the road of faith? Works will get us lost in the woods when we realize that none of those good works are sufficient to be right with God. So if that's the case, then why do we have such a problem when it comes to trusting God? Because it's simply by faith. It's not by our works. Is the choice to commit faith or works? Verses 1 through 5, Paul is amazed that anyone would abandon the grace in favor of performance-based Christianity. See, the Galatians were under the spell of self-sufficiency. And we get upset at them thinking, well, just like the people who might have picked up all that cash on the road, like, why would those people do that? Well, why would people in Paul's day turn to the law instead of by faith? And you go, is it that important? Absolutely, because you see, today we have many religion groups calling themselves Christian groups that are under the law. And I remember one of my daughters went to college, I'm not going to mention which one, great school, great medical programs, great everything, but there were certain rules. In the dorms, you couldn't have certain food, like meat. You had to be a vegetarian. And you couldn't work on the Sabbath, because that would be inappropriate. So a lot of things were done to skirt around those things. But she loved the school, and the school did a great job, and I praise God for it. Because I remember going there, and they would make an announcement over the speaker. Man in the dorm! This is when I was first helping set up her room, her student housing. But I remember at Irvine, they didn't care who was in the dorm. And yet, the reality is we all make choices in life, but the question is, what choices are we making? and you say, well, I'm a Christian, I've been a Christian for a long time, then why do we make sometimes foolish decisions? Well, that's a matter of choice too. The Galatians were clearly taught Christ crucified is the basis for our salvation. Justification is now by the new covenant sacrifice. I didn't mean justify the horse that won yesterday. I mean justification, that God has made us right before God of His will, His choosing. And all we did was choose the Lord. Have you choose the Lord? This means that what Jesus did on the cross continues to have an impact on me. Everything begins and ends with the cross. Look at verse 1. At the very last word, what is the very last word of verse 1 of chapter 3? What is it? Crucified. And so Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you. How? As crucified. He died on that cross. He did the work. We just received the benefit of it. So Paul then asked the question in verse 3. After the beginning by the means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? That would be ridiculous. But yet, how ridiculous is it when so many have found themselves in that same position? And I myself included in that. Because there were times in my life I go, God, I haven't prayed enough. I haven't studied enough. I haven't done enough and enough and enough. And then, therefore, I'm believing you. But yet, I feel like I got to measure up. And then the Lord goes, really? Is that what grace is? No, grace is when God gives you something you don't deserve. Praise be to God. I don't deserve it, but thanks be to God, I got it. So therefore, our choices then determine our maturity. So how mature are we in the Lord? Because you see, we can't even understand Galatians 3 and 4 unless we understand that beginning point about our choices. I want you to hold your place here, but turn back with me to Hebrews, and I want to show you something that the writer of Hebrews was also dealing with choices, in a sense. And in chapter 5, he speaks of it in relationship to our maturity in God. So chapter 5 of Hebrews, look with me at verse 11. He says, of whom we have much to say, speaking about Melchizedek. He says, but it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. In other words, you got a problem with your listening. And it says of chapter 5 of Hebrews, verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. Why? The first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he or she is a babe. But solid, of course, maybe I shouldn't have said see. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That means maturity. That is, those who by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern, to judge between good and evil. Have we gotten to that point? To make choices between good and evil. And so what he says is, first of all, that we've ought to have grown up by now. And yet we got to go back to the very basics. And sometimes in my life, I've seen so many times where people needed to return back to the basics because they haven't matured far enough along. So what would be that maturity? He says, where you can use then the things to discern both good and evil, to choose the difference between the two. A quote, at the close of life, the question someone said will not be, how much have you gotten, but how much have you given? It will not be, how much have you won, but how much have you done? Or it won't be, how much have you saved, but how much you have sacrificed? It won't be, how much you have loved and served, but how much you were honored, according to Nathan Schaeffer. And that is true in its points, but we have to be careful that we don't use that kind of principle to make ourselves right with God. There's a lot of books out there today that point you in the right direction. Just remember, we're saved by grace through our what? Faith. It's a gift of God. So therefore, if that's how we're saved for eternal destiny, how do you think we ought to be living? Well, I'm living by faith, trusting God, but I have a relationship with God, but I also am saved unto do good things. But yet, I don't earn my way with God. I don't receive the credit that I've earned my way. I just received His grace. Isn't it wonderful how much His grace has done for us? But yet, also to understand then, another translation said, babies are vulnerable to all kinds of dangers, difficulties, or distresses. But it's only when we mature are we able to develop the strengths to help us to overcome the inherent problems of infancy. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:2, the Amplified says, like newborn babes, you should crave or thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto a completed salvation. So we got to get back to the basics. In other words, what Paul is saying, in order to grow in Christ, his will, his ministry, fruitfulness, we need a mindset to make the right choices every moment of our day. And every moment of our day, if we learn to make spirit-led choices, we will do the following. And what is that? Well, we will learn that walking by faith, and I'm going to give you some principles here based on verse 2 of our chapter. He asked the question, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? People ask me, they go, Pastor Dave, how come we don't see miracles today? Well, if you answered that question correctly, I think you would have your answer. Do we do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And if you don't believe that it's in context, look down at verse 5. Therefore, so since this is the case, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Do we make these things miraculous by the law or by faith? Well, first of all, then let's take a look at our walk then. First of all, walking by faith is to choose to teach and instead of being taught. In other words, do we have to be taught everything? Don't we grow? Don't we mature? And I believe that Christians need to come to the place in their maturity where they start making decisions based on the Word of God. Because if they come in for counseling, I'm going to lead them to the Word of God. I'm going to give them counsel. But it comes from the Word of God. And I think that in every situation, we ought to get to the place to where we become mature. Where do we see it? It's in the home. First of all, are we teaching our children? I'll never forget when I was studying to be a pastor, and the one gentleman that was teaching the one class on family said, you know what? You need to be in your family, that responsible adult, teaching your children and teaching your wife. What am I supposed to teach them? The Word of God. Are you, as a husband or a mature individual, are you bringing Christ? Are you bringing the Word of God into your home? Do you follow those principles? Secondly, if we're walking by faith and we're maturing, we need to choose depth instead of superficial understanding. I also remember the day that I would take and say, God, what's the answer? And I would flip through the, oh, there's a good one. I'll use that. No, that's immaturity. As a matter of fact, there's people who get these little books called The Promises of God. They don't realize that in that book of The Promises of God, what's overlooked often is all the requirements for those promises. So if we don't learn the whole counsel of God, we're going to miss it. And then we're going to say, well, God doesn't answer these promises. So why aren't people's faith growing? Because too often they rely on substitutes. It's kind of like instead of having the proper nourishment, by the way, I did have a good dinner last night. I don't want to demean my wife. She did make enchiladas, and they were great chicken enchiladas. But yet I needed the other for just my snack time. But did I? So we choose depth instead of superficial things. Too many believers are content with just superficial understanding of God's Word and His will and His ways. People who learn to make maturing decisions are around that ladder of cognitive development. You see, they gain knowledge, they gain understanding, but then they grow in that understanding. They develop in it. But there's a third area of walking by faith, and that is to choose self-evaluation instead of self-criticism. Too often, people begin to criticize each other, and we demean each other for some of their choices or some of the circumstances in their life. But maturing believers learn that instead of becoming self-critical or angry or fearful, they choose to become better instead of bitter from every single challenge they face in life. So when I'm helping somebody, I look at some of the decisions they're making. But I know I can't make their decisions for them, so I want to remind them when I have the opportunity, you're making a decision that is costing you everything. Is that decision a positive decision? You see, if you're not helping them to do that, then you're probably not helping yourself to do that. And there's a fourth area of walking by faith. Walking by faith is to choose evaluations from God's Word instead of feelings and emotions. Too often, many people feel they're inadequate or they're weak or unable to perform up to expectations. Paul wrote, "We walk by faith and not by sight." So part of our walking by faith is to say, am I relying upon my feelings? Am I being objective? Or am I relying on the Word of God and by faith making my choices? And yet, those faith choices are the ones that really work in a positive way. Fifthly, walking by faith in my maturity, is it to choose a proactive faith instead of a doubtful indifference? Yes, it's a proactive faith. Too many people remain apathetic towards God, Christ's kingdom, and His Great Commission. As a matter of fact, there's a book out, or a magazine, excuse me, that's out to say, one of the books you can do without today is the Bible. Really? Well, we can do without their lousy magazine. Because, you see, the Bible is the antiquity of history. We know everything about history because we do have the Bible. Without the Bible, all you have is a bunch of mumbo-jumbo and a few plays thrown in on top of it that have no validity and have no security. But the Word of God is that which gives us life and hope and faith. Amen? But then there's a sixth area. Walking by faith, maturing, is to choose confidence instead of fear. You see, I can choose fear and come to the point to where I go, I just can't work this out. But I choose confidence in what? Confidence in the will of God and the Word of God. So he tells them, did you receive this by the works of the law, or did you do it by faith? And yet Paul says in Philippians 4:13, for I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. But there's a seventh area of when we're making choices of our spiritual maturity. Walking by faith is to choose carefully, study instead of half-hearted efforts. Too many believers are not studying the Scripture wholeheartedly. In fact, it was said in one of my favorite verses in Acts 17:11, and it says in the Amplified Translation, it says that there were those people in Thessalonica that they were ready and they accepted the Word of God because they were not like those in Berea who simply read it but yet did not seek it out, did not really understand it. So would you be like those in your Belinda who seek out the Word of God, find the Word of God, and live according to that? 2 Timothy 2:15 in the Amplified says, study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourselves approved unto God, tested by trials, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightfully handling and skillfully teaching the Word of truth. And there's an eighth principle of walking in maturity by faith, and that is walking by faith is to choose unity instead of disunity. So does that mean that I turn against people that I know that are making the wrong decisions? No, I try and help them to make the right decision, but then that's their decision, it's not mine. So therefore, I sometimes will find myself in a position that I have unity by faith, but I don't have fellowship in my relationship. And it's much like in our life choices with us and God. And I want to look at another scripture this morning. I didn't see what was going to be on the bulletin. I was surprised to see it this morning. I want you to go back to the Old Testament with me. That's something that Moses had in Deuteronomy. He told the people of Israel to choose this day. And then he gave them the blessings and the cursings. But then Joshua gives us the difference. So turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 24, very famous verses, but I want to point it out in our closing before communion today. And it says in Joshua 24, verse 15, where Joshua is speaking to the children of Israel. Now remember, Moses had already spoken to them in Deuteronomy. So now in Joshua, Joshua follows up. And he says in verse 15 of chapter 24, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would you say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? And that sounds great collectively, but can you say personally, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord? Can you say that out loud? As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. No matter what else, no matter what anybody else is doing, that's what my choice is. And so he tells them that, and the people answered in verse 16, and they said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us out of our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great miracles in our sight and preserved us all in the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And then he goes on to speak about how the Lord drove out those enemies. And then he says in verse 18 at the bottom end of that, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Joshua says to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins, of course, apart from salvation. Verse 20, and if you forsake the Lord and you serve other foreign gods, then he will turn to you and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. Consequences. Then verse 22, Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we're witnesses. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are in front of you, among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. Wow. In other words, you said, we're going to serve the Lord, but then he says, get rid of those foreign gods you've developed, that you've put into your life. Get rid of those things that you're believing in. Get rid of those things that are not the Lord, and then serve the Lord. In other words, put your faith to account. Kind of reminded of a story about a young man who was desperately in love with this young lady. He wrote her that he would be willing to endure the cold of the Arctic, or cross the burning sands of the desert, or climb the highest mountains, or swim the deepest ocean, just to be in her charming presence. And then he closed his letter by saying, and I'll see you Wednesday night if it doesn't rain. And that's about the extent of some people's commitment. As long as it's not going to put me out or make it inconvenient, I'll be there. Try that on God, because God can see through it all. So this morning, I challenge you, let's make our choices, but let's make our choices real. Let's make our choices valid. There was one who made a choice, and his name is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. He made his choice in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, Father, if there's any other way, show me. But the Father had no other way. It was the cross. And that's what Paul is saying back in our text. As we go through Galatians chapter 3, we're going to see the cross is what's emphasized, what Jesus did. And what we do is we respond to the cross. Today we're going to receive communion, the table of the Lord. Jesus made that choice to win your heart and mine. And so the reality, if we want to see miracles in our life, the miracle began when we got saved. But the miracles go on. God can do miracles, but what choice are we going to make today? They're going to be serving us the table of the Lord. I would ask that you would hold on to both the bread and the cup, and we will pray and partake of them together in just a moment. Father, we surrender it all to you. All to you, we make our choice.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to death many times. I've wondered at your gift of life. I'm in that place once again. And I'm in that place once again. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death many times. I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. And I'm in that place once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm brokered inside. Once again I thank you, once again I pour out my life. exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at this saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. And I'm full of praise once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you, once again I pour out my life. And once again I think upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm brokered inside. Once again I thank you, once again I pour out my life. Once again.
The Bible says that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, at that Passover meal, that he took the cup and the bread, and he told his disciples to partake of it, but he also said something just below that verse. He told them to examine their own lives, to examine themselves, to see if they were in the faith. And I think it's important as we look at this bread and this cup to be reminded that we are to examine our own life. And the question be then, have we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Are we born again? Have we found that relationship with God to be right before God? You see, the Bible says that it was His blood that was shed for the removal of our sin. And yet, it's not just a picture of Christ on a cross. It's the picture of His shed blood that was given for us. Have we partaken by faith of what He's done? And then the question be, as we examine ourselves, are we walking by faith and that relationship growing and maturing in the Lord? Those are questions that only we could answer individually as we search our hearts. So this morning, as we get ready to take this bread and this cup, I want to lead us in a prayer that will put us into that position of the right frame of mind before we partake. Say these words, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I confess that you are my Lord, and I surrender my will to you. And I recognize that you will guide me and instruct me in everything. So this morning I'm yours. And I confess you as Lord. In Jesus' name, bless this bread and cup. Let's partake of the bread and cup, please. Thank you, gentlemen, for serving us. And if I could have some of the pastors remain behind, please stand. And if you need prayer over any area of your life, whether it's for your family or for you or your needs, you need to believe God by faith. So we have pastors over here that will pray with you. And you say, I've prayed about these things before, and it didn't come to pass. My question then is, as long as I've been with the Lord, why are we giving up? I never give up until the job is done. And yet, when the job is done, then I thank God for it. But by faith, I sometimes thank God before it's even done. So if you need prayer, make sure you don't go out that door, but you come over here and get prayed with. God bless you in the name of Jesus. And may the Lord make His face to shine upon you, and may your heart excel in your faith relationship to God over every single decision of your life. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Got a closing song for us, Pastor John.
Forget to be, you were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were, yeah, you were. And now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out, we join them as we sing, glory to God. to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever.
The Lord bless you all. If you'd like to receive prayer, you can come forward at this time.